This meeting is being recorded.
Wow. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are watching and listening to a very special edition of Sipping Off the Cuff. I'm Mike Morales, sitting in for Mike Morales here in Southern California. That young lady out there is
Araceli Costilla Sharp in San Antonio, Texas.
I have decided not to be myself. I'm the guest host now. So Araceli and I have really had a good time with this new tequila on the block. Okay, it is called Phrases, not Frases. I would have liked to have had it in Spanish, but you know, but whatever. Yeah. It's called Phrases. It is it's tequila made of words, is what they're calling it. It's an interesting slogan.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what that stands for. It does come with a neck tag, and it's got a little symbol. A little quill. It looks like a feather, but it's actually a quill, and it's embossed on the cap there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story. There's got to be a story behind that motto, you know, like
yeah.
we just don't know it.
You know, it comes in a box too. This one came for me in a box, but you know, sometimes the story is not. It doesn't give us any story. And the information that we have, you know, unless they have it on the website, which is possible, but the POS, the sell sheet doesn't say anything in particular about the story. Yeah. The Blanco is very unique. And I'm going to say that in a good way. Okay. But I think the best thing to do is we're just going to pop this baby open, pour it in I got a Stossel Jarrito that I'm, oh, look at that, bubbles. I'm going to pour my Stossel Jarrito for mezcal, which I tend to like for reposados now. And we'll pour that, and then we'll give you all the ins and outs. It looks really dark in the bottle.
It does.
And oh wow. Ooh. That's interesting. I won't say yet what I detected. I love this color. It's pretty.
It's pretty. I'm having trouble opening my bottle though. The lid popped off.
Oh no! You know, it happens to me all the time. I swear. You know what? You know what you really need is a knife. Do you have a knife or some scissors? I can pause. I can pause this recording if you want me to.
Otherwise, okay, we might have to go get a corkscrew.
We'll be right back. We're just going to pause this just for a little bit.
This meeting is being recorded. Got it off.
That's Yay! Cool. Yay! So she's going to pour some in her Stossel Jarrito. She has one for tequila. I poured mine in my Stossel for mezcal. And right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, the legs and tears are a little thicker. And I think the barrel has a lot to do with that. For me, anyway. Mm-hmm. I love that color. I got to say, I'm very impressed with the color.
Same.
It's like a pale gold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Legs and tears are about the same.
Mine are a little bit thicker, and they are clinging to the glass. The Blanco didn't do that very much. And again, it's not an indicator of quality, but it is going to let you know what it's going to be like on your as the mouth feel, you know, as it lays on your palate. That's pretty. It's shiny like the Blanco. The Blanco was a little bit, you know, I call it mercurial. Alex, when I do it with Alex, he goes, yeah, it's shiny.
Shiny.
Alex is funny. We're just, you know, well, we've been doing it for 23 years, so he better be funny. oh, wow. Wait a minute. See, I got a nose full of wood notes.
Yeah.
When I popped my cork, when I popped the cork on the first one, and you got a handful of wood when you popped the cork.
It just like popped off the whole thing.
It happens. It happens to me more often than I care to mention. But again, there's a for me it was a lot of residual alcohol, you know, because Again, they've been sitting in my living room floor, and they traveled a lot further than they did to your house.
Yeah. Yeah, and mine's not as heavy up front.
I am getting a little bit of the wood mustiness. It's I don't want to call it an old barrel because it's not. And I'll tell you why. I will point out that I while you were fighting with your cork, I snuck a peek at the flavor notes. And it turns out that these are aged in barrels for 2 to 4 months. And with the color, but look at the color.
They have to be newer ones then.
Exactly. See? God, whatever.
Yeah.
God, I love it. So what I'm getting is just wood. I mean, I'm getting whatever char they did on that barrel and wood. And that's okay. So it's not necessarily musty. It's more like a wet wood kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pleasant. I mean, I like it.
Yeah.
It's not like rotting wood, like it's an old barrel that's, In fact, it reminds me of the old school barrel rooms that I remember going into, like Arete in downtown Tequila had one of those old barrel rooms. It was like brick. It's a brick building. And it's locked, of course, with big wooden doors. When they took us across the street to open those up for us, the sun was hitting this brick building. And as soon as you open the door, you get hit by this wood smell. And I was such a newbie. I go, añejo, right?
Yeah.
And it's not, because I can't, that was my descriptor. But it's, and then I look at the floor and I thought, now they have climate controlled barrel rooms because that was where the angel share was happening. But what they did was they wet down the cement floor. That was their climate control was to, wet it down a little bit so it would cool off, so it goes because it was in direct sunlight at that time. So that's what this smells like. It smells like an old school barrel room.
Yeah, I can see. I was going to say I got more of a wet concrete smell.
Exactly. Wet cement. Thank you.
I was like, that's what I got.
But it's wet cement. And what happens is the barrels, because they wet the barrels down too. So that bottom layer of barrels that are stacked up to the ceiling are absorbing that water. So you got wet wood and wet cement at the same time.
That's what, yes.
Right? So maybe this was a bottom barrel.
Maybe it's that on the bottom.
I thought I was the only one that ever put that together, but you're there, man. Wow. Yeah. Oh my God.
Now it's opening up. I have some more different. I don't have as much of the wood now. I have some of that alcohol.
Okay. Well, see, that's why I use the Stossel for the wider mouth for the Mescal, just because it gives it a chance to evolve a little faster, especially if it's been sitting on my living room floor for a while. I love it. I love that smell, though, man.
Yeah.
That really does take me back. To that memory,
But it I still get the underlying notes of that tropical, of the Blanco.
I haven't gotten that yet. I'm still getting wood note. I'm still getting wood. And I think as it evolves, I'm probably going to, we're going to see the notes on the Blanco say, cantaloupe or honeydew. And, I'm hoping that we get cantaloupe like we did with Querendon, because that was definitely... Mm-hmm. Where it evolved from the lighter melon to the heavier melon.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm ready to dive in if you are, because
yeah, for sure.
Okay. Oh wow.
Mm. Oh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh wow. Wow, that's magnificent. My goodness.
I like that.
The wood notes just overcome the palate. Mm-hmm. Not in a bad way, though.
No.
This is really mellow and what am I getting? I'm not getting the fruit flavors that I was hoping to get.
No.
Done. But the wood notes are very mellow. So I'm going to say a little bit of caramel, maybe.
Yeah, a little spice there.
Yeah, it is spicy. Well, you know, the Blanco was very, very peppery at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, there's a lot of character in this repo. And it's a straightforward repo.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't pretend to be something else.
Mm-mm. That's good.
Oh, my. The wood notes play really nicely with the agave.
Yeah. Oh.
Had they, you know what? If these are newer barrels, if they had let it sit a little bit longer, it would, the barrel notes would have overtaken everything else.
Yeah, for sure.
This is like right on that edge, you know, where you got to pull it out now, because if it stays any longer, if it's just another week, it's going to taste like barrel, you know.
Yeah. No, this is, yeah. It's got a real good balance. But I don't have any of that fruitiness.
Yeah, No. No, it's more like a light toffee, maybe a light butterscotch.
Yeah,
all of it light. You know, these are all wood notes that you can pull out of your aroma wheel. You know, that all come directly from the barrel. The finish is longer. I know you're getting a lot longer finish, and that's again because of the barrel. You know, this pepperiness turned into like a cinnamon spice.
Right.
Or like a ginger spice. Ginger.
Mm-hmm. Ginger.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's definitely more coating on my glass too, that like now. I don't know if because it's opened up. It's definitely thicker.
Your legs and tears are thicker now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is gorgeous. That is an old school on Reposado. I was going to say Añejo. Now, you know, I know you were talking about the old fashions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is the kind of repo you can do that with.
Exactly. Yes, you could. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is not what I expected.
No.
I was hoping for a little bit more of the Querendon kind of, because we love that one. That one is just, you know.
Now, but this plays to like the tequilas that are more agave growers, that where they want to highlight the agave, even in the repos and in the añejos, as opposed to the aging.
But they took a chance on using a newer barrel because you know the agaveros, they'll use those beat up barrels, like I go back to G4, you know, or El Tesoro, you know, they're the kind, and there are others as well that want to emphasize the agave, but they took a chance on doing this repo. There's a lot of character. It's bold. This is a bold repo too.
Well, in the Querendon we felt like they used old barrels.
And this is new.
Not as
This is new.
This is totally different.
Well, here's why. Let me read you the notes. Again, while you were fighting with your cork, I looked at that. Nobody saw this on camera, but I took a sneak peek on the notes, on the POS. Mm-hmm. And it says here that they use, again, the cooking is the same. Slow roasted for 30 hours in an horno, a stone oven, or mamposteria, as we call it. 24 hours in resting, so it cools off 24 hours. 100% blue Weber agave, but this is a five-year agave, singularly sourced to our specific. So instead, the Blanco uses a seven-year.
Yes.
So they're not using the same Blanco to age the Reposado. This is a five-year, okay? And so I think that's why you get that, like you said earlier, that's the balance. Because maybe with the 7 year, if they let it rest too long with a newer barrel, they were going to lose it. It was going to mess it all up. Or it'd be too familiar. Maybe it would taste too much like something else. So it's 2 to 4 months, American oak barrels. And Araceli and I came up to the conclusion that they're using virgin barrels, or pretty close to it.
Maybe single-use
barrels. It doesn't say use bourbon or use whiskey. It says American oak. So it could be just made for them. You know, that explains why we got nothing but wood. No char, no whiskey, no bourbon.
No.
That's it right there. This is the virgin barrel specifically just for tequila. It has nothing else rested in it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I'll buy that. Wow. The nose is, oak heads will just fall in love with this. It's a very mellow nose. You want to hear the official notes?
Oh, sure.
The official notes say this. Remember when I told you that sometimes you read the official notes and
you're like, no.
Yeah, they're nowhere near what we're getting. Okay. Mature, herbal, creamy aromas. I'll go creamy. Creamy aromas and flavors of toasted waffle, honeycomb, jasmine, honeysuckle. I'll go honeysuckle. I will. Elderflower and clove. I'm not getting clove. You know, clove is a little bit, clove comes to me when I get clove, it comes in from a used barrel whiskey or bourbon. You'll get more clove for me.
I mean, there's a spice, but I wouldn't say it's clove.
Yeah, no, me neither. It says velvety, but dry, medium body, and a warming, very complex finish with hints of honeycomb. Orange blossoms. Maybe as it opens up, I'll go orange blossom.
Yeah. Right. Like,
we got more of the orange blossom in the Blanco, so maybe
what
this would be more like an orange orange leaf, orange oil, you know, maybe it's a little deeper. Sweet spice. So they're kind of, you know, some of them are specific and some of them are a bit nebulous. But it is velvety. Yeah. I will say that also. Dry, I agree, because I think the barrel is a virgin barrel. At least that's what we come up with. That's what we deduced.
We deduced.
We deduced. And I love going through this stuff with you because it's like trying to get through a mystery novel.
Yes.
Because, you know, they don't tell us a whole lot. And if you read half this stuff, they're, you know, made with pink elephants. Come on. Really? It's not even real, you know.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what I like enjoy about sipping off the cuff. Just in general, when I watch the videos, it's like, these are all new tequilas that a lot of people haven't tasted. So you're not just, repeating stuff that everybody else is saying. We're just tasting it and putting it out there.
Yeah, because the guy, I guarantee the guy who wrote this is not the same guy who's importing it. It's, you know, somebody in the office who said, okay, I want you to take these notes and write something up, okay?
Yeah.
I write flavor notes for not for a living, but professionally. So I know that there's a difference, and you do too. And so does Bryce. You know, a lot of our guys write their own notes, and I say, come up with your own descriptors, because they're as valid as anything else that somebody comes up with. Because when you read this stuff, you know,
it
smells like avocado peel. Really? Okay, bro. Maybe it smells like guacamole to me, but you know.
Yeah.
Jeez. I love this like that. Nose.
Yeah, it's opened up. It's way more subtle. It's just, it's beautiful.
Yes, I like it. It's excellent. Brand of Promise nominee.
Definitely.
I think this is not, it's not what I expected about a Tres Mujeres.
No.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressed. This is their new style, their new way of making tequila, I think. And I'd love to go visit that distillery one day just to pique my own interest. You know what I mean? But wow.
I really think too, that a lot of the brands have a say now more so than they probably did before, you know, in creating the profile. And so if you're pretty adamant about this is what I want, you know, it kind of goes back to who's making it and what they decide, what they want their tequila to look like and represent. So,
yeah, I think the style of doing business with distilleries has changed completely.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard stories or seen in the past, you know, videos where I have these seven flavor profiles. You decide which one you want. We're going to slap a label on it and call it yours, right. You know? And I think the conscientious brand owner, which we're getting more and more of,
yes,
is going, I know a little bit more, you know, or they have a family history, or they've done, you know, they're not just inspired by what they see or how tequila changes them. They really want something different and special. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think a lot of more of the conscientious brand owner is, and I want to see more of those. Thankfully, we're getting a lot of them, you know, it's sipping off the cuff. Mezcal and Sotol and all that. They want, you know, they don't want the celebrity stuff. They don't want the stuff that the distillery has that's a library of stuff.
Right.
You know, they're actually making the distillery work for their money too, because
and
I think from my conversations with some of the brand owners, it allows the distillery, whoever's in charge of distilling, their master distiller, you know, mm-hmm. if there are several in one factory, it allows them to be creative also. You know, if I were a brand, you and I were a brand owners, you know, not only would we have our own preferences, but then I think both of us, or the conscientious owner, would go, but I want you to be creative. I want to see what you come up with.
Right.
You know, go hog wild and see what, you know, impress the hell out of us and see what, you know, we like, you know, what she likes, you know, we all like, you know, if we decide we want to do a big barrel with all 12 of us, you know, we're going to have 12 different flavor profiles, because it's all going to be leaning to one direction or the other. But, you know, this is cool, because then the distiller goes, oh, I get to be creative too, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's really, I love to see this, because Tres Mujeres has been around for a long time, even though it burned down for a while, but it's a iconic distillery as much as, you know, El Tesoro or some of the other ones that have been, you know, in Los Valles. So I'm very impressed. I can't say enough about, I can't wait to have Mr. Coffee, who is the brand owner. I believe it's
Josh Coffee.
Yeah.
I think it's his name.
Josh. Yeah. Jay Coffee. Jesus. Mr. Coffee. Mr.
Coffee.
Mr. Coffee. I can't wait to have him on the open bar with us, because I want to know, you know, what the backstory is of the, it's almost like reverse engineering the brand and going, okay, where did Querendon come from, and why is Frases? Because they're really different, even though they're not related. And I think they're both coming from different distilleries anyway. So, wow, amazing stuff. Mm.
So when I did talk to him at the Austin Tequila Festival, very passionate about what he's doing.
Yeah, you came. That's what I was going to get to that backstory. You found this tequila. Well, you found Querendon.
Yes.
And then and you found him at the, where did you see him again at the
Austin? So that was at the Austin Tequila Festival, and I think it was like in November.
It happens every November, and that's the one show I never got to. It happens at
Casa Chapala.
Casa Chapala, okay.
Yes.
I always mispronounce that one, because my accent.
Yeah, Mr. Lupe out there loves his tequila, and he brings in, it's really great. I mean, he brings obviously mainstream brands in, but also up and coming brands, you know, people trying to promote their brands out there. And
well, they're all Texas based too, the majority of them, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like obviously the mainstream ones are there. You know, the big ones, Patron's there, Tequila Ocho.
But
he does bring
I got to make a point to go out there in November. I've been, even when I was living in San Antonio, it was always something on my radar, but for one reason or the other, we just, you know, it's a long schlep from San Antonio. You got to pack a lunch. You gotta stay overnight.
I know.
You know, you got one highway, and if the weather sucks, you better hope that there's nothing, you know, why don't they have a train from San Antonio to Austin? They need a train.
Yes. When you got to plan a weekend. It's a whole weekend thing if you're going to go.
Yeah.
That's the only way we do it.
You can't do a one-nighter and then drive back. No. Not going to happen, folks.
No.
Because you can't.
Especially not after a tequila festival. You're just Gemini.
It's gotten bigger too, hasn't it? It was just a little, it was just a restaurant that was doing its thing once a year. And it was a, when we were there, it was, how long have they been doing it now? 13
years? I want to say, well, I know it's over 10 years. So.
Okay. Well, in the, I think I lived in San Antonio for 8 years, give or take. Yeah. And in the first couple of years, it wasn't such a big deal as the San Antonio Cocktail Conference, which we covered couple of years. That was a big deal. That was fun. Yeah. That's where I got to meet guys from like Gracias a Dios. I even picked up a bottle of J.R. Ewing bourbon, which I lost in the roof for other reasons. But anyway, it was a great show. If anybody gets a chance, if you get a chance to go. It's kind of a neat, it's a whole week thing. I got a chance to interview people there. Jaime Solorio from Ambar Tequila, met a lot of good people in that town. It's a big tequila town. But Austin, that one in Austin, I always had it on my radar. I just never went. But now I got to go back. Now I got to fly in on purpose.
So this past November, they had Don Rico. They had El General Tequila. They had, obviously, Tequila Querendon, Don Vicente. So, I mean, they had a lot of, new ones that
tears?
Are...
Did they get Germán González? Did they get Tears or...
No, they had, they had some different ones. Like, obviously, they've had Juan Lobo before.
I know.
Me too.
Did you see my interview with him? Did you see my interview with Juan Lobo?
Yes, I did.
I love that.
So that was the first time I realized that he had a tequila, because I'm being from Texas, I was a John Wolfe fan to begin with. So, and then when I saw that, I was like, wait, what? He has a tequila? Wait, what?
My interview with him, if you folks have not seen it, it's on our YouTube channel. It is on our website. John Wolfe is the coolest guy. And, he's a student of tequila.
Yes.
You know, I didn't know that guy has a degree from Texas A&M or Austin in finance. The guy's a business genius. He's not just some country bumpkin. This dude's got a brain, and he can write.
I think he went to Colorado. He went
to the University of Austin.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got a degree there in finance. Oh, wow. Watch the interview again. Okay.
I'm gonna have to go back. Cause like I said,
and watch it sober.
Yeah.
but he's got a nice tequila cabinet. He goes in off camera. He was telling me, next time you come up, you and I got to go hang out. He says, well, I got to see your tequila cabinet. Cause he's sitting in front of the tequila cabinet. Sadly, he was staged, at the side. And when you do a split screen, unless you only have the camera only has one eye.
Right.
So when you do a split screen, so he's sitting off camera, half his face and his shoulders missing.
Yeah.
But that's because he was staged that way, which is fine. I mean, he doesn't care, but I care,
I think he's a neighbor now. He either lives in San Antonio or New Braunfels, one of the two. So
yeah,
he's pretty close.
he's got, you got to watch his website, his social media, his Instagram. That guy, and if you haven't bought his albums, his CDs, that guy, and I told him on his interview, I said, you're an old soul. You have your lyrics are really classic country. They're classic for
me. Yes, I call it Texas country for me. Like, I love that Texas country. So
I call it classic because classic. I mentioned all these names. I go, my dad loved country music and we lived in California all my life, but he liked to listen to guys like Charlie Pride, all that old school, Mickey Gilley, Johnny Lee, who I got to see in concert years ago. All those guys Freddie Fender, Freddie Fender.
Yes, I do. So,
yeah, before he went to jail. I don't know. So John Wolfe is great. It's neat that you guys have that there. And now it's gotten so big that I'm going to have to fly in. We're just going to have to cover.
You're going to have to.
We're going to have three guys, three people from Tequila Aficionado covering this event because it's gotten so big. I mean, do people line up around the block to get into that thing? Or
what? No, but they have sold out a few times. Last year, not this last year, but the year before, they had to turn people away at the door. So yeah, it was because they only sell so many tickets. I mean, it's been a good event. So
they got to make friends with the fire marshal in Austin.
Well, it's an outdoor event too. So, but they they only sell a limited number of tickets. And then of course they have their VIP, which is great. But no, it was good. It was a good time.
Excellent. So. And that's where you met Josh. And so did you even know he carried this tequila? Because I know you had Querendon, right?
I had Querendon, yes. And so I did not know at the time, but no, I like it. Yeah.
Hey, so. Brand of Promise nominee. Anyway, you guys reminiscing. That's our take on Frazer's tequila. We have not been able to decipher what it means on the back of the bottle, but if you folks have figured this out, this puzzle, please let us know in the comments below. If you're watching us on YouTube, figure it out. Tell us what it is. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit the notification bell, subscribe, unless you're, afraid of commitment. subscribe, share it, tell your friends about it. And that's our take. I'm Mike Morales here in Southern California. That young lady out there is
Araceli Costilla Sharp in San Antonio, Texas.
You've been watching and listening to Sipping Off the Cuff, all of our channels and networks. Please subscribe, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and whatever you do, tomar sabiamente.
Sip wisely.